Now, last week we talked about what is the harvest that is expected as a result of you and I being planted, rooted, and grounded. See, because that's so key. Anything you're going to experience as a believer is going to come and flow because you are connected. Say, I am connected. And you must connect through the local church. There has to be a shepherd over your life. You were not designed to be an island unto yourself. And I think that's the most gross misperception in the body of Christ. And people are coming up with ideas about the word that they got sown in them in their house, but they have no covering over what they are propagating. You better be careful that. My pastor had pastors or had leaders over him. And he still have men and women of God over him that can speak into his life. No pastor should be without a covering. That's for the people's sake. There should be an apostle or a prophet that can speak into your life. And, you know, it's bad when you see that happening because this is how people get messed up. Because, see, pastors can get off course. Because we're human just like you. And sometimes you got to ask somebody that's more spiritual than you, that's been doing this a lot longer than you. Am I hearing God? This is the revelation I heard. Am I hearing God? It needs to be tested. You don't start saying it just because God gave you something in your prayer time. It needs to be approved. And I go back and check. And I hear some of the same things I'm saying, my pastor saying it. The men and women of God that can speak into my life, they're saying it. I said, okay, God. Because I can't just dump something on you because I heard it in my prayer time. Oh, y'all didn't know that, did you? It has to go through channels. Why? Because you're so important to God. I can't afford to give you something that I'm testing. Hallelujah. So what is a harvest that is expected as a result of you and I being planted, rooted, and grounded? And we tell you the answer was what? Sons. The whole thing is sons. Oh, yeah. God is looking for sons to do the work of the kingdom. He needs sons. Now, women, Don't bring me your feminist stuff. Sons is what God said. We are all called sons in the kingdom. Now, you can call yourself a daughter if you want to be technical and all that stuff. Go ahead. But when you understand sonship, it's not about your personal gender. It's about sonship is a position, not a gender. So once you understand that, you're not offended at being called a son because it's a position. And he's looking for sons. Jesus came as a son to show us what a son of God is supposed to look like and what he's supposed to do. That was the mission of Jesus, apart from going to see the cross, was how it was going to get accomplished. But his mission was to come and show us what we're supposed to look like. Jesus didn't come to show his power in the earth. He came to show you what power you have. Ooh. Romans 8:29, I'll read it again. You don't have to turn there right now. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image or the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So there was an expectation of God that there were going to be many sons as a result of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. He expected, said God expected, more sons. He's not looking for members. He's looking for sons. This is why we did away with the members. We got partners Because membership make you lazy. Because you think once you're born again, you're in. No, partnership means I have to participate. There's a part I play in it. So you're not a member in this church. You are a partner. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1, you can go there, verse 18. Colossians 1, verse 18. Glory to God. And I want to read this. I want to read this out of the Passion Translation. Verse 18. He is the head of his body, which is the church. Who are they talking about? Jesus. And since he is the beginning and the firstborn heir, that means God expects some more heirs in resurrection, he is the most exalted one, holding first place in everything. So Jesus has first place in everything. Say, Jesus has first place in everything. For God is satisfied to have all his fullness dwelling in Christ. And the main thing, and if you be Christ, all of God is dwelling in you. Ooh, Jesus. You got to come out of this little light syndrome. You ain't got no little light in you. Remember that song, This Little Light of Mine? You ain't got no little light. You got all of God dwelling in you through Christ. Ain't nothing little about God. It doesn't even fit his character. So don't sing that song unless you're going to change the word. Because I don't have a little light. I got the biggest light of the whole world, of the universe, living on inside of me. And it says, and God is satisfied to have all his fullness dwelling in Christ. And by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. That reset just keep right on coming. See, Jesus came to restart and reset man. But the whole purpose was to make you a son. Not just give you an even break. No. To start you over again as a son. Even though you were once distanced from him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions, because that's all we could have done before Jesus came, he reconnected you back to himself. He restarted us. He reconnected us back to him. Woo, through Jesus. He released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as the sin payment on your behalf so that you would dwell in his presence. And now there is nothing between you and Father God, for he sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. He sees you as a son. Glory, glory, glory. He sees me as a son. Come on and say, I am a son of God. Look at verse 23. If indeed you continue to advance in faith, assured of a firm foundation to grow upon, never be shaken from the hope of the gospel you have believed in. And this is the glorious news I preach all over the world. Now go down to verse 26. There is a divine mystery, a secret surprise that has been concealed from the world for generations, but now is being revealed, unfolded, and manifested for every holy believer to experience. Living within you, verse 27, is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope, filled with the riches of glory for his people, and God wants everyone to know it. So how they going to know it? Because the King James said, the mystery is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Well, how the world going to know about the glory if sons don't show it? It says here in verse 27, we're supposed to let everyone know it. They don't know it if you don't show it. We're not just talking about telling them about Jesus. That's good, and you should. No. I'm talking about you, the son, showing it. It's a whole big difference. Because the body of Christ have gotten lazy, and we put everything, we want Jesus to do everything. He said, excuse you. That's not why I came to the earth, so I can come back and redo your job. That's why I left you. Mm-hmm. Look at Hebrews 2. I know. Man, I tell you, I was out of my chair dancing yesterday, and the first thing this morning, I was just dancing and praising God because I'm a son. I am a son of God. Hebrews 2, verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. He says, God didn't place the world or the coming world under the government of angels. Who did he give it to? Look at verse 6. But one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visit him? In other words, the scripture is affirming, what is man that you would do all this for man? Wait a minute. I know what you got. No, we're not looking at after the Adam fell. What did God do? What God did all the heavens, everything he strung around is all things were done for the sake of man, because God wanted sons. God wanted sons. What would you do? I mean, see, we got to stop thinking like we're a fallen, dirty dog and God got to pick us up out the mud now. No. You're a son now. Come on. Get in the house. You're a son. Look at verse 7. It said, thou madest him a little lower. Still talk about man, than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor. And did set him over. Said God made sons over the works of his hands. Oh, my God. So he gave us something to do as a son. He left us to do the work of the kingdom. But he says he didn't just leave us just to work. He left us with glory and honor. See, let me tell you. So don't let nobody give you no poverty lesson, because glory and honor, ain't nothing broken there. Ain't no poverty in there. Come on. He gave us what we needed to overcome so we would stand out in the world. You can stand out in your world. You can be an upcoming son because it's going from faith to faith to glory to glory. But when we are developing into sons, man, you already arrayed with glory and honor. You got power and dominion. Oh, my God. Verse 8, he says, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. What have been placed under him? But we don't. It says, look at verse 8. For you have placed everything under his authority. That means that God has left nothing outside the control of his sons. Everything about this earth is under your control. Woo, Jesus. Say, I am a son of God. If Jesus could do it, we can do it. Look at verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels also for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death, not because he sinned, but he tastes death for every man, so that mankind could come again and be restored as a son. So we could get our glory and our honor back. How tarabo kohosate. as a son, I have glory and honor. Shandele bakoho sata. Ah. Verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing what? Many sons unto what? Oh, shucks. What you going to do with that scripture? You need to lose that negative conversation you've been having about yourself. You're not broke. You're not sick. You're just not pushing to be a son yet. You know, I had a daughter that she, after I had DJ, because she was my baby girl, she did not like DJ when he first was born. Because she said, I'm the baby. And for the first 30 days he was in the house, she wouldn't even go nowhere near him. And you could say to yourself, now she's just two and a half years old herself. But you said to yourself, how in the world could a child come? But she said, I'm the baby. She wouldn't say, I'm the baby. She said, I'm the baby. And for the longest time, so I think later on in life, DJ just told her, said, go ahead, take it. I'll be the oldest. You take it. That's a conversation she and I had recently, and we were laughing about it because she always said, I'm the baby. But how many of you know she couldn't stay the baby? Well, she's not the baby today. She's still my baby girl. But she's not the baby. You're not the baby anymore. God looking for a son. Hallelujah. It says, let's go back to verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things and bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For now, I'm going to read that out of the Passion Translation, verse 10. For now he towers above all creation, for all things exist through him and for him, and that God made him pioneer of our salvation, perfect through his sufferings. For this is how he brings many sons and daughters to share in his glory. He had to die so we could get our glory back. It wasn't coming back on his own. He had somebody that was sinless and spotless had to die so we could get our glory back. This is why it's an atrocity to see people that are born again never developing into sons. We become codependent on somebody else praying, believing, talking us out. You can't, every year you come back, you're not better off than you was last year because you're not developing into a son because you want Jesus to still do your job. And he said, I ain't going to do it. You'll never have it if you never become a son. There are just some things, people, we're not going to experience, not because God doesn't love us, but it's designed for those who are pressing in to be sons. Oh, yeah, I know. This is why a lot of Christians struggle. Because they're not developing, their minds are not developing into sonship. They're developing to just be a good Christian. I ain't going to mess with the devil as long as the devil don't mess with me. Sons got a whole different mindset. We're in a war, y'all. And the son says, hey, I'm looking at you. What you doing messing in my stuff? Because the devil can hide out in your stuff when you're not looking for him to do nothing. He can hide out in your house a long time. And by the time it comes to surface, it's already so mature, it takes you, the angels, God, everybody in church to get you out of it. But when you're a son, you're looking. I see you trying to mess with my money. I know what to do for you. All right. Look at verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them what? So Jesus calls me brethren. And he ain't ashamed. Because we all of one. We is one. So he not ashamed to see me and said, you know what? That's my brother. You're not a servant. You're a son. Change that mindset first. You're not a servant. You're a son. Now, we do serve as sons, but we are not denoted as a servant. We are sons. And sons have responsibility. Saying, I would declare thy name unto my brethren. This Jesus saying, I'm going to tell my brethren about you. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. He says, in other words, I will reveal who you really are to my brothers. Jesus said, I'm going to reveal to my kin folks who God is. Why? Because we won. And you becoming more like me, so I'm going to show you who God is. Oh, are you getting this lesson? And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God have given me. Woo. 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 Jesus said, God has given me some children. That means he's fruitful. He's reproducing after his own kind. Listen to me. Every seed reproduces after his own kind. Recently, I don't know if y'all heard it, maybe some of you have. They just passed a law in California. Don't ever go to California if you don't have to. They passed a dumb law that says a bumblebee is now a fish. And made it a law. How dumb can you get? The governor needs to be delivered, uprooted, and pulled out of that state. The mayor and the governor. You done made a bumblebee a fish. And you don't want the word, you better wake up. Because it's trying to get into every state that it can get into. California and New York are always the test states. You should know that. Because that's where most of the wealth of our nation lives. Verse 14. For as much then as the children are what? Partakers of flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He took part, he became a partner of our flesh and our blood so that he could destroy the works of the enemy. The Passion Translation says, since all his children have flesh and blood, so Jesus became human to fully identify with us. This is why you must fully identify with his righteousness, because he fully identified with us. Ooh, Jesus. He did this so that he could experience death and annihilate the effects of the intimidating accuser who holds against us the power of death. He did so we could overcome. Verse 16, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. See, we were subject to bondage. You had no choice, because the devil made sure that when he caused Adam to fall, he made sure that we had no way of escape. But Jesus became the way of escape. So by embracing death, Jesus made us free and gave us back our sonship. Ooh. He gave us back our sonship. Oh, you might start out as a baby. grow up as you grow, just like the progression in the natural. They start as a baby in your arms. Then they become a toddler. Next thing you know, they're a kid. They're 5, 6 years old, but they're coming into full maturity as they grow, and nothing hinders them, and they stop looking at everything that distracts them. They can grow. And as long as there's no negative stuff put in a child will grow into a full Christian. If parents are protected, that's our assignment. And sometimes you got to look like you're a little crazy as a parent, but you're protecting the next generation. Everybody may not agree with your way of raising your children. That's not why you're here. You're giving God back another son. As a parent, that's your assignment. You're not here to make your children be liked and popular in public school. You're here to give God back the next generation. This is why the generation we're dealing with now have no knowledge of God. Because most parents let the child grow up and choose whatever they like, as long as they went to Sunday school or went to church service. Never asked them if they were born again. Never put enough word in them to counterattack what they had to deal with in the public environment. See, we take children growing up too loosely. In some cultures, children don't get out of sight of the parent until they're almost 10 years old. Because they know in those years, your whole mind frame, your mind frame, your constitution is being shaped. When our children were little, we didn't lose our children to just anybody. I have family that I love, but we didn't allow our family to babysit our kids that way. We had this revelation about we are raising sons, and we knew that we had to give our kids back to God. That meant there had to be some restraints in us so the kids could grow. As a parent, you're supposed to be mature enough that you don't need a break every other week from your child. Something wrong with you. Something you're not doing right in your house. Quit lying and say you all dead in a bag of chips. No, something wrong with your house. You need a break every other week from your child. Suppose you didn't have no theme park. Suppose you had no beaches. Suppose you had no extra money. What you gonna do? And the kids looking at you. We carried them to church in the house. That's what we did. Our kids, you know, they didn't always understand what we were doing, but that wasn't their job to understand. We had to do what we had to do to protect them. And today, all four of them are born again, saved, loving the Lord. Ain't nobody calling my house and telling me my kids in trouble. Or they on the corner selling their body. Don't have to consider that. Because we did the work. And it was not always fun for the parent. It ain't supposed to be. You're raising sons. You're not raising a theme park. You're supposed to bring forth sons. That's your first fruit. We're not supposed to let the devil have our children. I don't know how I got on that one. Somebody must have needed to hear that one. You're not supposed to let the devil have your children, nor your grandkids. When my grandbaby come in my house, the first thing he wanted to drag me to my bedroom, because that's where we always looking at teaching, or he like common. I turn comment on, we have us a praise party. I'm telling you, but he don't care. As long as it's radical, he likes for it to be radical. And then when I say, come on, baby, let's worship, he get to swinging. And we get to worshiping. But see, he being taught that at home. Hallelujah. He wouldn't know how to interact with me that way if he wasn't being taught that at home. Woo! I don't know, but somebody needed that. It says that, look at verse 17. No, go back to 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Ooh, he took on him the seed of people, of mankind, the sons and daughters of Abraham. Wherefore in all things, verse 17, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, like unto us, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Hallelujah. 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 Say sonship. And the angels standing around saying, what in the world is this man that God doing all this stuff for? That God would go to this length. What is man? God wanted his son back. So in order to get a son, he had to sow the seed of a son. Because everything does what? Reproduce after his own kind. So today, you need to thank Jesus that he brought back the sonship. Because he was planted a son. He could receive sons. Hallelujah. Glory. And he became the firstborn among many brethren. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hallelujah. Verse 6. Hebrews 3, verse 6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. Yes, we are his house. We are his building. Because we are his body. So he built the body. You're his house. You're where he dwells. Woo. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If, two letters, strong word. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. In other words, but Christ is more than a servant. He was faithful as the son in charge of God's house. And now we are part of his house. If we continue courageously to hold firmly to our bold confidence and our victorious hope. So that means to tell me something, that sons can't be cowards. That means son has to be rooted and grounded. Because it's talking about holding fast, holding firmly to what you have been taught. Let me see. I don't know if I'm ready to say everything that's on this notes today. So we are not identified as a servant, but a son. Remember that. According to John chapter 1, verse 12. You can look at that later. But as men as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, and even to them that believe on his name. We have the power residing on the inside of us to become sons. Because it's all about sonship. Look at 1 John chapter 3. I'm getting ready to close. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Now, this ought to make you happy. If the rest of it upset you, this one ought to make you happy. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, listen. That's what it says. Let me get your attention. Behold. What manner of love the Father have bestowed upon us, that we should be called, what? The sons of God. That's your name, son of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it didn't know Jesus either. So don't expect the world to understand you. You're a son of God. You're supposed to be peculiar. You're supposed to stand out. We're not talking about crazy acting, but you're supposed to be different. You don't blend. Say, I don't blend. Because I'm a son. See, I ain't trying to consider blending. I don't get offended with the world when they act like the world because they are the world. But I ain't trying to appease them. You see the difference? Look at verse 2. Beloved, now, say now. Say now. Are we the sons of God? Say now. Right now. I am a son. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. It doesn't look like it right now, but he says, now you are a son. Develop into it. Become it. I got the power in you to become. We just read it in John. The power is in us to become. But there's work for the kingdom that is expected of sons. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we're going to be just like him. I'm going to be just like him. How many know my affirmation? I look just like him. I act just like him. I talk just like him. And I get response just like Jesus. Why? I'm just like him. Because I'm a son of God. And I should have expectation of getting the same results that Jesus got. Woo, Jesus. I'm the son of God right now. And every man that have this hope, verse 3. Every son that have this hope in him sets himself aside for sonship. He sets himself aside for sonship. Ooh. Glory, glory, glory. Are you learning this morning? One scripture left, and then I'm a close it for today. Galatians 1, verse 15. Got to give you this one. And verse 16. This is Apostle Paul teaching. And he says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, so that I might preach on the sons, that I might preach him among the heathen, that I might demonstrate him among the heathen. It's supposed to be a demonstration so that I can proclaim who God is amongst the heathen. Galatians 4. We're in the same book. It's almost like the same scripture. But anyway. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because I am a son, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into my heart, crying, Abba, Father. I identify with my heavenly father. I can say, Father, Father, because I'm a son. Wherefore, thou art no more a what? You're not a servant. See, he didn't identify you as a servant anymore. He set you at the table and gave you the plan of the day. Servants don't know. They just react to commands. They don't know the plans of God. Angels are servants. You're a son. Ah, hallelujah. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Ah, katahaba. Hey, everything Jesus got back, I got it. It's mine. It's mine because I'm a son. It's mine not because I earned it, but because I received Jesus. I accept this sonship. I am a son of God. And everything that was bought back through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is mine. Why should I deal with poverty? Jesus wasn't poor when he walked on the earth. You never saw Jesus begging on TV, asking somebody to send him some money. Woo! Listen, I ain't telling y'all not to give to people on TV. That's not what I'm saying, because I believe in giving to other ministry. That's not what I'm saying. And you all know better, so let's not twist my words. Why the devil trying to talk you out of doing what's right. No, I'm talking about Jesus never did it that way. People gave because of the sonship that he showed. They follow his ministry. And when you're being helped through a ministry, it's kind of a reaction that automatically, it's called giving, goes along with it. And I told y'all how I do. I don't listen to anybody and glean from them that I don't sow into. So if I watch them on TV long enough, I'm going to sow into them if I believe they can help me. Why? I want to attach to that anointing because I'm developing more and more into a son. I want to do what God is already using them to do. I got some plans and things, but unless you help another man in their ministry, you'll never have your own. That's how you become sons. Ooh, Jesus. Okay. So verse 7 says, now we're no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. And because we're his, we can access, somebody say access, everything our Father has. For we are heirs of God through Jesus Christ, the Messiah.